Well, it's wonderful to be together, isn't it? Praising God, worshiping Him. It's a wonderful privilege to walk with God and to experience Him in our lives in every circumstance and situation. Well, we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We're in verse 11. So we're progressing through. We come to this story of a situation that takes place where we learn a lesson, hopefully that we can learn a lesson. So let's read the story, Luke 17:11. It happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, that they were cleansed. And he fell down. There's a verse jumped off here somewhere. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, when we look at this story, it's pretty straightforward, and yet there is a challenge here for all of us when we consider who Jesus is and what he does and what our reaction is to it. How do you react to the blessings of God? How do you respond to what God has done in your life? And as these 10 men who were lepers, they weren't all Samaritans, otherwise Jesus would have identified, the story would have identified them all, but the guy who did come back was a Samaritan. So there were Samaritans and Jews in the mix there as he was traveling from Galilee, Samaria, probably along the border of both. So there would have been some of both. Now, they would have been outcasts. Lepers were outcasts because nobody wanted to catch leprosy. And so they would have been shunned. They would have been abandoned in that sense. Their lives had come to a complete stop, a screeching halt, once leprosy was seen. And when the people who decided whether you were in or whether you were out, whether you had leprosy or you didn't, were the priests of the day. They were the ruling parties, and you would have to come to them if you had a spot or something that blemish started to show up on you, and they would inspect it, and if they decided it was leprosy, you were out. You were out of the congregation, you were out of your community, you were out of your family, you were a complete outcast. And many of the leprosies lived in caves and in dens and wherever they could find, and they scrounged, and some family members would leave them food, but none of the family members would get close to them. Some of the circumstances were very extreme and not actually accurate that they were doing to these people, but that's what they knew at the time. And so this is what the condition that these people were in. They were outcasts. They were left to their own devices. And on top of that, having leprosy with all of its problems, and many of them would have had real leprosy, where they would lose the feelings in their hands, and if they got burned, then they wouldn't even feel it, and by the time they did something with it, it would be festered and sore, and lots of them would have fingers missing, toes missing, especially the extremities, and they were a mess. They were in really bad situation. They were in such a bad situation that they weren't thinking about who, you know, what will other people think about me, right? Because they already had judgment on them. It wasn't like, oh, you know, I got to try and keep up a good face here, or I got to try and... Nothing like that. All that they wanted was a chance to be made whole again. And they were desperate enough that they would do anything to have it. And so here, as Jesus is passing by, these lepers, seems like they must have got together and said, "Listen, we've got no hope anywhere. We're stuck in this situation. There's only one person that can help us. There's only one person that we can come to where there's even a glimmer of hope that something will happen here. And that is that person called Jesus Christ. Because we know that he's healed lepers. We know that he's healed people. We know that he's raised the dead. He's done things that this puts it in the realm of possibility that I can be rescued, that we can be changed." And so what do? They come alongside, and as he's entering this village, there met him 10 lepers. 10 lepers, but they stood far off. They didn't come near because they weren't allowed to. If they came near, what would the people do to them? They would stone them. That's right. They were to stone them until they got away from them. And if they refused to go away, they would actually stone them to death. That's what the people would do to them. And so here these 10 lepers, they stood far off. They didn't think that they could get near. They didn't think that they could get close to Jesus himself. They really didn't. They didn't think that they were worthy enough. They didn't think that they had any possibility of getting that near. But at least they could call from a great distance and ask for deliverance. Now, I don't know about you, but I can see some pictures here of what all of us are like. Because listen, friends, all of us have discovered or experienced the leprosy of sin in our souls. All of us have been, in a sense, we've been separated. We have been separated because of sin. And as a result of that, that separation is real. And in the midst of that separation, where do we turn to find deliverance from our sins? But the problem is that many people don't think that they're sinners, and they don't think they're all that bad, and they think that somehow they can manage it themselves and carry on. Well, you're never going to be desperate enough then to cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. Lord, rescue me. Master, have mercy on us. But those who do, those who get humbled enough to say, God, there is no other recourse for me. There is no other pathway or avenue left. People are still trying avenues that have been tried for thousands of years to better mankind, to see mankind on a self-improvement course. And none of it has worked, friends. But there is a Savior, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is still passing by, who's still going through this world, who's still very present. If we will humble ourselves in His presence and we will call out to Him, He will answer. Praise God that He'll answer. Is it any wonder then when we look in the scriptures, it is often the downcast, it is the broken ones that turned to Jesus. It's the broken ones that called out to God because they knew they were broken, because they knew they needed help. You remember the story that Jesus spoke of the Pharisee and the tax collector who came in the presence of God in the temple to pray. And the Pharisee said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other people are. Especially like this guy over here. I fast twice in the week. I give 10% of all that I possess. So he was very impressed with himself, wasn't he? And he came to God with his impressed with himself, not realizing how destitute he was. But the other man, it's the Bible says, he stood far off. Why did he stand far off? That's right, he felt unworthy. And he knew that he was unworthy. And it says he smote his breast and he said, and asked God to be merciful to him. And what did Jesus say about the two people? Which one went down to his house justified? The tax collector, the thief, the one who was broken and knew he was broken. But let me tell you, the other fellow was broken too, but he didn't know it. He couldn't see his brokenness, and so he didn't come. Are you here today and you don't see your own brokenness? You don't see how lost you are. You don't see that you've been infected with sin. Maybe because you're living kind of a pretty good path and you think, well, gee, you know, compared to other people, I'm not that bad. But let me tell you something. One sin is enough to put someone away from God for eternity. And if it wasn't that serious, God would not have allowed his son to be crucified for those sins. If somehow you could do it by your own merit or your own attempts or whatever you think you can do, or the fact that you think, you know, maybe I'm not as unclean as some people that I know, it won't help you at all. What we need to do is humble ourselves in the sight of God and cry out for mercy, because I tell you, God will have mercy on anyone who cries out for mercy. You think if that Pharisee had humbled himself and said, God, I've been self-righteous, I've been proud, I thought I was better than that person over there, forgive me, Lord, would God justify him? Absolutely he would. He would justify anybody. God doesn't take delight in the death of the wicked. God is full of mercy and compassion and grace. But at the same time, he must deal with sin. And the reasons are obviously why. If we think that sin can continue on and it's not going to have any effect on us, we've really fooled ourselves. We're taking the path of self-destruction. I spoke to a woman in the hospital yesterday as I was visiting the ward, which I do. Anyway, and this one lady said to me, I smoked and now I've got cancer. She said, I brought it on myself. But she said, my husband, he told me, he was a heavy smoker too, and his their child came up to him and said, Dad, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to die. And he took it to heart and he realized, I got to do something. And so he stopped. She said, I never stopped. And now here I am. She said, I'm on my deathbed. But listen, sin is like that too. People don't stop. And whether it's pride or whether it's arrogance. And let me tell you, it's not the particular sin that will cause you to be lost. That's the thing that people got the idea of. Oh, those murderers, they're the ones that are going to be lost. They don't understand that sin is sin. And they don't understand that it's the accountability for sin that puts you under judgment. Remember what Jesus said about the people of Tyre and Sidon. They weren't living like Sodom and Gomorrah was. They were living very religious lives. The Sodom and Gomorrah people, they were into full garbage. Their lives were absolutely horrible. And Jesus said to the people of Tyre and Sidon, you're going to get greater judgment than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were very religious, and those guys weren't even religious at all. They were rapists. They were into every kind of sexual immorality. And Jesus says, they're going to receive less judgment than you are. You see, we've got it wrong when we think about sin. You're a sinner. Take that spot. Humble yourself and understand only Jesus can deliver you. Cry out to him for mercy. And what will he do? He'll forgive you and he'll save you. He'll save you. And you know, sometimes people got this idea. Well, you know, why would you speak about sin so much? Why don't you just talk about the love of God? Well, the love of God exposes the problem so that the love of God can fix the problem. And this is what happens here. These men knew their problem. And they knew that there was no other hope nowhere else. And they cried out to Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, here's what it says. He said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. He didn't reach out and say, be healed. He didn't touch them. He didn't even speak, you know, healing to them. Or command, come out. He didn't do any of that. He said, go. Go show yourself to the priests. Why would he say go to the shelf to the priest? They were the ones that would identify the head. They to get back in society, to be part of the culture again, they had to cross that hurdle, didn't they? And so he tells them to go while they're still full of leprosy. And that's quite a challenge, right? It is a challenge for them. What did they do? What did they do? They went. How many went? All the ten. Every one of them went. They turned and they started going to the... They were going to do whatever Jesus said, as ridiculous as it seemed, because here they were, full of leprosy, and if they got near the priest, well, guess what would happen to them? The stones would start flying, right? So here they are in that predicament, but they took the steps of faith. They weren't big steps. All they did was turn and start to walk towards where the priest would be. They turned. And they started to go. And it says, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. You see, the Lord Jesus wanted them to have that small step of faith. And you know, listen, friends, it doesn't take a big step to be saved. It really doesn't. As an old hymn says, if you'll take one step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. And they really are. And so as he turns, as they turn and they go, instantly all ten were cleansed. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the blessings of God. It wasn't like, oh, only nine of them were because maybe one had a little less faith than the other one. That's not what happened, was it? They all took the step of faith, as small as that might have been, with all the doubts and the fears that came with it. And God responded in grace and in mercy, and every one of them were cleansed. Now I got a verse mixed up here. So in Luke 17:15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, somehow I don't think they got very far. I don't think they got a long ways down the road. I think that as they turned and started going, suddenly they were cleansed and they looked and they saw they were cleansed. And can you imagine the joy in that camp? Can you imagine those 10 lepers dancing, yelling, screaming, crying, just thinking, I can go back to my family. All that could happen to them now. Their life was given back to them completely, wasn't it? They were restored. They were made whole. And so, it says this. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He knew what he was going to do. he returns to the Lord Jesus. He comes back, and it says he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Because that's what the Samaritans were. He was a stranger. He was been a double outcast to the Jews. One, because he was a Samaritan. And second, because he was a leper. He says to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You trusted. You believed the word that I gave to you, and you're made well. But I believe that this man got more than a healing from leprosy. You see, he fell down and he worshipped him. He fell down and gave him glory. It says he with a loud voice glorified God. This man received a greater blessing. Because being healed from leprosy is one thing. But having your soul healed, that's what really matters at the end of the day, isn't it? You see, when he says your faith has made you well, I believe it was more than being healed from leprosy. But it was also the soul sickness that every one of us have. Because he had humbled himself before the Lord. But in this story, as we see this experience happening here, you know, Jesus asked that simple question, where's the other ones? Where's the other 9? What happened to them? How come they're not here? And I tell you, friends, God is pouring out so many blessings on this world. Where are those who are worshiping him? Where are those who are giving thanks to God? Where are those who are giving God glory? And you might say, if you're saved, well, then yes. But look, not just salvation, every blessing that you have comes from God. Am I right? Every blessing. The next breath you take has come from God. I marvel at this incredible world that we're living in. I marvel at it. And more so, every day I think of the beauty of all this. And that, and it's unbelievable to look around you. Somebody give me a glass of water. And see how everything is so well put together. How organized it is. How perfectly things have been made by God. And who's giving thanks for it? I told you this story before. There was a man, he was an atheist, and he was writing this article in a Nature magazine about, you know, he was in the Northern Shield in Ontario and seeing all the beauty of everything. And he was like, he wrote this article about it and describing it and how wonderful it was. And he said, I'm an atheist, but at times like this, I wish there was somebody that I could give thanks to for this. That's what he said. I wish there was somebody. You see, his heart was wanting to give thanks. But he didn't believe in anything. Friends, you were made to give thanks to God. And it isn't so God can get his ego stroked. It is because you were made to give thanks to God that it's part and parcel of who you were meant to be. And if you aren't, you're missing a great part of your life, and a great part of your experience is not there. It's just not there. And it's no trouble to give thanks to God when you discover who he is. That's what's missing, friends. When I see who he really is, when I see the divine hand behind everything, oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. When I see the circumstances and how he arranges circumstances every single day, praise God. Over and over again, God has opened doors and showed me his hand working. And when I see the love of God in Jesus Christ, when I read the Bible, when I spend time in prayer, it isn't a chore for me to give thanks to God and give him glory. It isn't a chore for me to speak out as this man did. And it says with a loud voice, he glorified God. He wasn't shy about it. He was going to give God the glory because God deserves the glory. When God touches your life, you're going to give him glory. Marie and I were praying on the phone this morning. I wish I could have taped your prayer, Marie, and played it to the congregation this morning. so beautiful, so rich. She's laying on a bed. She's full of cancer. And she starts praying, God, I thank you for all the blessings I have. That's good, eh? Is that normal? No. And Lord, I thank you so much. Lord Jesus, we have another opportunity today to share the love of God with people, to tell them that you love them. I tell you, friends, there's a richness in the Lord. It's so rich that cancer gets small and God gets big. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Blessed be your name. You give, you take away. Blessed be your name. Whatever, blessed be your name. And I can say there's been greater riches in my life through this time of suffering and trial, and greater thanksgiving to God. Not complaining, but thanksgiving to God and joy in our souls because of who He is and what He has done for us. If He heals you from the cancer, that's a bonus. Amen. But it's not a requirement for me to give Him thanks. And it's not a requirement to give, for us to give Him praise and to give Him glory and to worship Him. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is still good. It's a blessing to walk with Him and to praise Him and to honor Him. We're the nine. Let me ask you this. Are you one of the nine, or are you one of the one? Which are you this morning? How have you been? How much complaining have you done this week? How much praising and thanksgiving have you poured out to God? It ought to be a river of it. You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. We have such privilege as Christians to be thanking God day after day. Not just when things go well, but thanking Him from our hearts. Because we're thanking God for something more. I remember I preached a message on Thanksgiving not that long ago. The who and the what. Most of the time we want to give thanks to God for the what. But we rarely give thanks to God for the who. Because the who is far more than the what. All the whats are going. All the whats are passing through your fingers like sand. But the who remains forever. And it's the person of God, it's the relationship with Him that counts. Nothing else matters, friends. It's all just fleeting moments, quickly gone. But the who remains, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a love relationship with Him, and a love relationship with people. It's the heart of the whole of the Word of God. Love the Lord your God and love one another. It's everything, friends. That's what matters. What matters? The rest comes and the rest goes. And to be free to see what really matters and to live in what really matters will give you a heart of thanksgiving, even if the whats fall apart, even if things go south. You still have the who, and He never changes. He never changes. And the blessings that come, and the mercies that come, and the grace that's poured out, and it's incredible, friends. It really is. To experience and live in it. I'm not wishing anybody here got cancer. I'm not wishing anybody here had deep trials in their life. We get enough of those, don't we? But I can tell you this. The blessings that we have received through people praying for us have spilled over into every part of our lives. God is doing amazing things in these days. I'm at the river. A guy comes down. A fisherman comes down. And he says, you're born again, aren't you? I want to talk about being born again. When is the last time that's happened to me? It has never happened at the river before like that, where this guy, the least person I would have expected to come and have a conversation with him about salvation. Praise the Lord. Lord, God is good. The spiritual things, those are things that matter. Take away what you want, Lord. Just let you be glorified, O God. And let people be saved and won to you and love grow and the things that really matter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can I encourage you to be those who have a heart of thanksgiving? But a heart of thanksgiving is not something that you manufacture, but it's something that happens as you actually see the real blessings. As you see the blessings, your heart will well up with thanks to God. As you see who God really is, oh, how rejoicing you will be. It won't be just fluff. It won't be just stuff on the surface then. It won't be just because everything's going my way, I'm going to give thanks. It'll be giving thanks every day and in every situation because God is good. Because he's gracious and because he's kind. And he does heap blessing upon blessing in our lives. And I praise his name for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to throw a couple of verses at you from the Psalms. As we see the purpose of God, Psalm 106:47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles, that is from the unbelievers, to what? For what purpose? To give thanks to your holy name and to triumph in your praise. That's what he's made you for. You're missing out if this isn't it. Sing praise to the Lord, Psalm 30, verse 4. You saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Psalm 30, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 18:49, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name that I proclaim. Psalm 26:7, with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. You know, when it says Gentiles, it's unbelievers. That's what it's referring to here. It says, I'm not just going to give thanks in the congregation. I'm going to give thanks everywhere. I'm going to praise God wherever I go. We are living in a society that wants to dumb you down from that. A society that wants to make it so that you keep your little old religion to yourself in a little corner over there, okay? We don't want to see you smiling and talking about Jesus in our society. Now, we've got some terrible characters that are out there who are speaking in the name of Jesus that are saying atrocious things. And some of them have been terribly atrocious in the wake of the disaster in Florida, in Orlando. Some awful people. I pressed on a clip the other day and I couldn't believe that this so-called evangelical preacher was holding up a Bible and he was saying, I'm so glad that every one of those people were murdered. And now I'm praying to God that every one of the ones that are in the hospital will die and go right to hell. That's exactly what he said. But of course, what does the media do with that? Whoo! Put that up there. That's Christianity. That's what the Christians are saying. That's not what we're saying. My heart was broken. And it's still broken over that. Broken over these people who had enough brokenness in their lives already to have more brokenness thrown at them. But praise the Lord that there is reality and there is true Christianity and it can still shine in this light of this darkness. And even though there are those who might try to quell it and quench it and use those kind of horrible examples to try to make it less, stand up and praise the Lord, friends. Stand up and give him glory. And be gracious and kind and loving and do everything for the name, for the glory of God and for the love of others. Sing praises to the Lord. Give him glory. I will give thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. I will offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. I will praise the name of God with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praises to all generations. Psalm 101, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. A song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. You're meant to give thanks to God. You're meant to give him praise. It was the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was giving thanks. He was, I'm just going to touch on a couple of more verses and then leave it at that. There's so much I can say about Thanksgiving today. But what I want to encourage you to is to give thanks to God for the greatest gift of all. That one, I can give thanks to him every day. That is the victory that's in Jesus Christ. Because thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ringing verse that can go through the Christian's life. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. Are you struggling with something? Thanks be to God, we have the victory. Psalm 7:24, a man who's struggling. Paul writes, he's struggling with sin. His sin's getting the better of him. And he calls himself a wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You're always led in triumph in Christ. Always. Yeah, well, what happens when things go wrong? Always, friends. And I can testify to that. And I think I've already said this to you. I don't have to try and be strong in these circumstances. I don't have to try to muster up faith in these circumstances. I fall in the arms of Jesus Christ and I triumph. He holds me up. He holds me up. He holds Marie up. And it's a testimony to the power of God and the presence of God and the peace of God. And it's yours in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, friends. Oh, what a package God gives to us. When you trust Him as your Savior, He brings you into a glorious place, friends. But He does wean you from what you think is most important. He shuts those things down. He puts them over to the side. And then He fills your life with what is really important. And then may we be like the one who are on our face giving thanks and praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all our heart. Just a few moments now. Is there anything for you to give thanks to God for today? There is. Shout it out quick.
Jesus.
Jesus. The world.
Where I live.
Where you live.
The beauty. I was able to have some friends over for a meal last night.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else? The love of God. Oh, the depth of the love of God. Jesus loves me. Anything else?
Salvation.
Anybody else?
God's Word.
God's Word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
God's music.
Music. What a gift from God, isn't it? Praise Him. Thank you, Lord.
Huh?
Everything He gives us. Yeah, for Him too. For the church family. Oh, for the church family. Oh, what can I say about the church family? What can I say about you guys? And the love and the care and the... Oh, I tell you. We're in the middle of the blessing because of the church family. What God has given us. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's worthy of worship just for that. Anything else? God's healing power. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that Gary and Louise are here with us. Thank you for the diagnosis that Gary has, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. For families. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God that He's spoken to us all these centuries and He still speaks to us.
Amen. Amen.
He gave us His Holy Spirit and promised to give us a comforter.
God Himself living in us. Could you get better than that? Do you want an angel? Do you want a vision of some other thing when you have God Himself living in you? God Himself taking up residence inside of people like us. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for adding to our numbers. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you for bringing Jonathan and Amanda. Jonathan and Amanda to us.
I was going to say
that. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you that Joe's daughter, Amanda, is in rehab. Praise you. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, set her free, Lord. Set her completely free. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we got so much to thank God for. Thank you, Lord, for the simple things.
For the gift of prayer.
Huh?
For the gift of prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, so we can even talk to you. Yesterday.
Thank God that we can say, I'm sorry, He forgives us just like that.
Amen to that.
We don't have to go months and months and wait and wonder.
Amen. And we can forgive one another.
Yes.
Ah. No grudges, no hard feelings, no, oh, I've got to run away from that. None of that. Freedom. Freedom in our souls. Freedom to love. Thank you, Lord. Unreserved love. Thank you, Lord. Pouring out our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. The love of God is poured out in our hearts. Shed abroad in our hearts, the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Simple pleasures. Yesterday evening, as Marie and I and Grace went out of the hospital and we took a wheelchair, went around and went to a little flower garden. And, oh, my wife appreciates, she loves flowers and loves looking at the different. I was looking at all this through her eyes and it was just like, whoa, this is so beautiful. And I could just go, you know. But suddenly, she's appreciating every little flower and every little thing. It's beautiful. We have so much to thank God for, friends. Father, we do pray this week that we will be a people who are giving thanks. We'll see your hand and thank you for it, Lord. We won't be like the nine. Don't let us be that way, Lord. But rather, let us be those who are continually giving thanks and praising you. And we won't run out of things to honor you with and give thanks for. And now, Lord, we ask for your blessing on each one of us, blessing on the food that we're about to partake and the fellowship that we have. Thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence here among us. In all of our weakness and my own weakness here today, you're here. And that's a million times better than anything else. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.